How many of you guys have ever watched that show, Forged in Fire? I have never seen that show in my life, which isn't saying much. I don't watch a whole lot of TV. But, God was revealing some stuff to me this week, and he shared a scripture with me, and I was like, oh, okay, maybe it's this direction, but he was just speaking to my heart. And then I saw just a clip. You know how, like, randomly things will pop up, and if you're scrolling through Instagram, or you're scrolling through Facebook, and someone will pop up, and I saw a clip of, like, that thing getting hit with the sword. I'm like, this looks cool. I want to check this out. Like, that's just the man in me, I guess. I'm like, that's awesome. I want to do that. And I'd never seen it before. And so, like, I watched it, and it was great. And then later in the week, God led me to the passage of Scripture we're about to dive into, and I want to read it to you. Hebrews 4:12. You ready? For the word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and the spirit, the completeness of a person, and both joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart. So now God gave me that. I was in Hebrews, and then I was brought to this, and then that video came back up, and I saw that sword, that double-edged sword just kind of just slicing through, and at that one, I mean, it almost went all the way through, and I was like, man, like, this is what this is talking about. This is what God's word, not Bible or anything, but I may have a shiv in there, but that's just for safety reasons. No, I'm just kidding. Now, I was thinking about this, like, this is what God's word wants to do. It wants to cut, it wants to penetrate, it wants to get down deep into the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. I was thinking about this in my own life and about how God's word has done that over the years and how it's penetrated deep down into my own selfishness, how it's penetrated and repeatedly cut over and over again the pride that likes to well up inside of me. In recent months, over the last year, the Word, just by being in the Word, His Word has revealed to me that there are times when I can be combative in my responses and sarcastic, and it's not helpful. He's recently shown me that while I've liked to pride myself in not being judgmental to a certain type, there are judgments that lie within my heart in many different areas. And it cut. And it's one of those things that as it happened, I'm like, no, that doesn't happen. And as I let the word marinate and really dive deep in, it began to penetrate the sin that was present in my life. And it exposed it, it revealed it, and it cut it. And then I continued to go to the word to help remove it. And this is what Hebrews 4:12 is talking about. I want to kind of break it apart just a little bit and look at a few of the things. The first thing it talks about, it says, for the word of God. Well, what is that? What does that mean? What is the word of God? And the term word of God, and this is from John Piper. I just want to share it to you. He said it better than I could, so I was like, let's just do this. The word of God may mean a word spoken by God without a human mouthpiece. But in the New Testament, it regularly means a word or message that a human speaks on God's behalf. So, for example, Hebrews 13:7, it says, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. So, the word of God in Hebrews 4:12 probably refers to the truth of God revealed in Scripture that humans speak to each other with reliance on God's help to understand it and apply it. We're going to get into that in just a minute. So the word of God is for us, it's to penetrate us, but it's to help us also to speak it to others. The other thing it talks about, it says it's living and it's active. God's word is always speaking, always moving, always challenging, always encouraging, always convicting, always directing. It is not dull. It is not dead. It is not boring. It is not irrelevant. And if it seems that way at all to you, the problem is not likely with the word or the delivery, or even the deliverer. Now, real quick side note, with the deliverer, have some grace. We are imperfect people as well. And even those brothers and sisters in Christ who come and speak a word to you, just know that there is error. But the problem is not likely in that. The problem may lie, and this goes all the way down to the very end of this scripture, in the thoughts and intentions of your heart. whether or not you're living in sin. Because what does sin do? It separates. And if sin separates us, we won't hear God's word. We'll push against God's word, and it won't cut deep into our hearts. The problem may lie with a sin known or unknown to you. The problem may lie with just your lack of attentiveness to God being at work in and around you. And so I just wanted to share that with you. The word. Every single week that you come and you hear this word, I don't care what topic it is, I don't care what's going on, God has something specifically to speak to you. And if it's not specifically speaking to you, don't leave this place and say, well, that just wasn't a message for me. I would say, were you really listening? Was your heart really open? Or were you distracted by something else? Or was there a sin in your life that was causing you to be blinded to what God was going to say to you? The word of God is living and it's active. You need to be looking for what God's trying to speak to you every single week. Anytime you're in a group, anytime you're having a conversation with, again, how is God speaking to you? And then it goes on, and it says it's sharp, and it's penetrating, and it's dividing. I think it's one of those things, like, many times we pick up the word, and we want to be encouraged, and we want to feel good, and we want it to speak just right to our situation, and we don't think about it being, you know, sharp, penetrating, and dividing. Like, the word, if you'll allow it, it cuts deep. Oftentimes, that cutting elicits a response from us, especially if it's cutting deep to the hearts and our attentions and it reveals sin. You see, when that cut is revealing or convicting of sin, you know how we often respond? On the onset, anyway, with anger, with discomfort, with pushing away. It leads us to things like, you're just being judgmental. You're just being hypocritical. How dare you say that to me and what's going on in my life? And we'll do this to our friends or even people we go to church with. We'll say this about pastors and preachers. But at the end of the day, it's not them. It's God's word that is cutting deep and it's bringing conviction in your life. And when that conviction comes against your sin, maybe a sinful lifestyle or a sinful habit, that sin is going to well up inside you and push against it. And that's why it's a sharp, penetrating, dividing word. There's an example of this in Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, the apostle Stephen, the disciple Stephen, is out doing an amazing work. And, you know, he's preaching the truth and he's preaching the word of God and he's preaching about salvation through Jesus Christ. And the religious leaders come against him, and man, he lays this truth bomb on them. Like, he lays the entire gospel out from Old Testament to now and just tells them that they are in the wrong. And this is what it says, Acts 7:54. Now, when they heard this accusation and understood its implication, ready for it? They were cut to the heart, and they began grinding their teeth in rage at him. That's when you know the word is doing what it's meant to do, when it's coming against our sin, when it's coming against the things that do not align with the word of God. And it elicits that response. What was Stephen guilty of? Preaching the truth. It cut deep. It exposed the intentions and thoughts of their hearts. It exposed the sin of those who were against the gospel, against the truth of Jesus. And here's why they did what they did, because it was going to require them to adjust their lifestyle to the word of truth. And they didn't want to do that, and so they killed him. They killed Stephen. This word is sharp, it is penetrating, it is dividing, and it will lead to the next thing that it says, that it's going to expose, it's exposing, and it's judging. Now, really quick, we don't like either of those words. We don't like to be exposed. We don't like to be judged, right? But let's really dive into what this means. The word of God revealed to us or spoken to us is not a judging in a condemning way, but it's to help us assess the sin in our lives or the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. And if there's anything there, we turn from it, we repent, and we turn back to God. And we turn back to his truth, and we live in his truth. I said this last week. Again, we don't hold the line on truth to condemn, but to allow the truth to set people free, and even in our own lives. cut deep, to set us free, to cut deep, to share, and to help others be set free from the sin, from the slavage, the slavery and bondage. That's a good word, though. Write that one down. I've just merged those two things together. So slavage of sin. That's the word for today. Slavery and bondage of sin. And we want to help set them free. And what did we learn last week? There's only one thing. I can't set someone free from their sin. You can't set someone free from their sin. We are set free by the truth. The truth, we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We also know that this is the truth. This is how we are set free. And when God reveals a word to you, you better believe that it's in an effort to set you free from something, or it's in an effort for you to share it to help someone else be set free from something in their life. God wants to set us free. It's not in a condemning way. It's not in a judging way. It's in a way that'll cut deep to the root of us to make sure that we are living for God. Many people, some non-Christian even, some claiming to be Christian, they criticize the word. And they ignore portions of the word. And they really like to skip the difficult to live by parts of the word. Because instead of allowing the word to pierce and convict and cause them to repent and adjust their lives, they just decide to shy away from it. Only go to it when it's going to speak something that they're looking for it to speak right then for them. Not in a way that's going to challenge them or convict them, but in a way that will back them up so that they can share whatever opinion they had on something or on a lifestyle that they're living. So they shy away from reading the truth. Afraid. Honestly, many of us are afraid of how the truth will cut deep to the core of us. Because at the end of the day, if we allow the word to do that, guess what's going to happen? We're going to have to adjust our lifestyles to it. And we don't want to, because we're sinful and we're selfish, and maybe we like the way that we're living, maybe we like the things that we're doing, and maybe we don't see a problem with what it is, but the word of God is cutting and he's penetrating and he's calling us to adjust our lives. Here's the deal. When you view the word of God as a double-edged sword, one that'll just cut deep and penetrate to the heart of you, when you view that from a perspective of penetrating and dealing deadly blows to your sin, ready? The word is dealing that damage to your sin. The word that is being shared from someone, from me, or from someone else that loves you is being shared to deal deadly blows to your sin. It's not against you. And I think so many times we go, well, I'm going to take that personally. But it's not about you taking it personally. It's about your sin taking it personally and you not wanting to let go of your sin to turn back to God. The word of God is meant to penetrate and cut and deal deadly blows to your sin. And when you can view it as that, that's what the word is doing when you're here. That's what the word is doing when you're in a group. That's what you're doing when you reach out to a friend and they share something with you. That's what the word is doing. Then that's when you begin to trust its ways and you begin to accept its truth and you begin to see that though it's going to tear and though it's going to come against your fleshly desires and there may be some adjustment and there may be some difficult conversations and difficult things that you have to do, the aim for it all, for this truth, is to set you free. And not just set you free, but as it sets you free, set you apart to make you holy, to make you more like God's Son. That's the aim of this. And that's what we want to dive into. You see, the problem that comes in, and this is why the word has to cut so deep and penetrate so much, because throughout our lives, there are these little lies and these little sins that we are willing to be okay with. We say them to ourselves and we rationalize them and we just say, it's really not that big a deal. It's not the end of the world. But guess what happens when you do that? That sin becomes the seed that plants deep in your heart. And then little by little, as sin does, and we don't like to believe it, but as sin does, it begins to grow and get bigger and get bigger and get bigger until you are full on living in a sinful lifestyle. all because you were willing to allow one little sin, one little lie, one little thing to go by the wayside and conform a little bit to the world and bend the truth just a little bit, and it began to take root in your heart. And the reason that the word has to cut so deep is because it's got to come to the foundation of that lie that you have been living or believing. And it's got to cut it, and it's got to get it out of there. And that's why holding the line on the truth is so important. Because it will examine us deeply. It will see our motives of our heart and mind. And it will call us to adjust our lives to it. So there's two things that we need to do as it pertains to this truth and living out the truth. Number one is that we need to seek the truth and allow the truth to cut us. It's first and foremost. You work on you. And then as God works and moves around you, you can go where he goes. But the first thing you need to do is you need to seek this truth daily and allow this truth to penetrate deep within your heart. Go to the places where God is leading and allow his truth to speak to you. We need to be in it for ourselves so that God can reveal himself to us. Now, here's what's really cool is that you want to know how God reveals himself to us? It's through the Spirit of truth. This is the Holy Spirit. Let's jump into John 16, verse 7. It says this, "I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship with you. And when he comes, he will convict the world about the guilt of sin and the need for a Savior, and about righteousness and about judgment." It goes on to say, about sin and the true nature of it, because they do not believe in me and in my message. And about righteousness, personal integrity, godly character, because I'm going to the Father and will no longer see me. And then it goes about judgment, the certainty of it, because the ruler of this world, Satan, has been judged and condemned. Verse 12, "I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear to hear them now. But when he," ready, "the Spirit of truth comes," what will he do? He'll guide you into all truth, full and complete truth. It's the Spirit of truth that reveals God's word. And John 14, 26 says it again, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Father, will send him in my name, and he will" what? "He'll teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you." So he's going to teach you all these things. He's going to remind you of all the things that Jesus told us. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will convict, he will guide, he will teach, and he will remind of everything that Jesus said. And what is that? It's the truth. So the Spirit of truth reveals the word of truth, and it cuts and penetrates into our lives so that we can be more like Jesus. You see, when we seek the truth, here's what it's going to do. It's going to make those four cuts for us. Number one, it will convict us. Cut one is conviction. Convict us. Yes, we are set free. Yes, we are, you know, striving to be more and more like Jesus. But at the end of the day, if you think that you are walking around here sinless, you got pride to deal with. So there's that sin. There's only one person that ever walked this planet that was sinless, and that was Jesus. And so every single one of us has room to grow who we are in Jesus Christ. I've been a Christian for like a long time. I can't remember how long. And I've been in ministry for over 15 years. God's word is still convicting me of sin that's in my life. It'll convict you. Cut two, it's going to guide us. It's not going to be like, "Hey, you suck, and have a good day." You know, like, that's not what the word's going to do. It's going to convict us, and then through the word, it's going to guide us. And it's not like one of those things like, "Oh, God just revealed that I have a problem with what, I'm going to leave that there and walk away." No. The moment it convicts you, you dive deeper into this. And you share that with somebody else. And you let the Holy Spirit work and move and guide you through his word, because that's what it wants to do. It wants to guide you. And as it guides you, guess what? Cut number three, it's going to teach you. It's going to teach you how to hold fast and to live out his word and to combat those temptations. And I love cut number four. It's going to remind us. Remind us of what? Because at the end of the day, we're going to be convicted and we're going to be guided and we're going to be taught. But the thing that we can't lose sight of is Jesus. He is our hope. He is our salvation. He is our peace. He is our rest. He is our grace. He is our mercy. And all throughout this word, the Holy Spirit's going to remind us of that. It's going to cut, it's going to guide, it's going to teach, and then it's going to get in there and remind us of who Jesus is and what he wants to do in and through us. Those are the four cuts. So we want to seek and allow the truth to cut us. Those cuts will daily transform us into the likeness of Jesus. And the second thing is this, is that we need to speak and allow the truth to cut each other. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to cut you. Y'all are like, I don't feel comfortable saying that to my neighbor right now. Speak and allow the truth to cut each other. Not, you know, I've laid this out enough to say, you know, I'm not really saying cut each other. But to speak the word of truth to each other. To be really willing to challenge one another. When we see someone that is falling by the wayside or is headed back into some ways that Christ had set them free from, we use the word to bring them back and to remind them. We need to be united and transformed in the word together. To speak truth to others, to have truth spoken over us, that's a big part of it. It's one thing to be like, ha, you need to do better. But then are we okay to receive the same thing? Not that we need to say, well, you need to do better, but you understand what I'm saying. Are we willing to receive it just as much as we're willing to give it? Have to speak the truth over each other and have the truth spoken over us. And we come alongside each other and when we support one another as we make those adjustments in our lives. Because if we have lived in sin for 5 years, 10 years, and that's the way of our life, do you know how hard it's going to be to realign our lives to match the Word of God? It's not something we can do alone. We need the Word, we need the Spirit, but we need each other to be guided through all of this. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, it says this. Let us consider thoughtfully how we may encourage one another to love and to do good deeds. Now, I like this translation a lot. This is Amplified Translation, and there are other translations that use that word encourage. But while the Word of God is encouraging, and it should encourage, and we want to be encouraged to be more like Christ, man, this doesn't do the sword of truth enough justice, at least not for me. And so I love the NIV. It says this, Hebrews 10, 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Now, it elicits a little bit more of, okay, spur, that's interesting. And I just want you to know, I looked this up. In all the different translations, spur shows up 9 times. Provoke, and there's another word. Like, provoke and encourage, you don't usually see those things in the same way. 17 times for provoke. Stir shows up 11 times, and encourage shows up 11 times. And so, like, I like the provoking. I like the spurring. It's like, I'm going to jab you a little bit with the Word of God, okay? But I love you while I'm doing it. And I just want, I'm really not you, but I see something, or God revealed something to me. I want to poke it in there, and I want to do that. The word goad comes to mind. Anyone put the definition of goad up there? I like this word. This is a part of who I am. Sorry, that's something I'm still working on. Provoke or annoy someone so as to stimulate some action or reaction. I don't know, I was looking up pictures of this thing and like, the goad's really cool because like it has a point on it and then it has a hook and it's like, whack, whack. I don't know, it's really annoying. So, so that's just me saying I like this word, goad. But spur, provoke, stir. Now I was looking this up in the Greek and the word here is, it's really hard to say. I listened to it one time and I was like, I'm not going to remember that. Paroxemos, that's good. You can look it up later and you can hear how it's really said. Here's what it says. A provocation which literally, ready, jabs or cuts someone so they must respond properly cut close alongside to incite, jab someone and stimulate their feelings and emotions, become emotionally provoked. I like that. That's what this is talking about. It's gonna get in there and it's gonna provoke and it's gonna elicit feeling and it's gonna challenge you that you must respond to this. And you can either respond in anger and say, no, that's not true, and I'm walking away from it, or you can respond in submission and say, okay, God, I'm surrendering control of this to you now. And we spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Too many Christians are afraid to offend somebody else. And so sadly, too many Christians are soft with the word. and how the Word is trying to speak and how the Word is trying to encourage us and how the Word is trying to grow us and transform us and be more like Christ. I want to be clear with you right now. We don't treat sin kindly, ever. That's not what we're doing. Because here's what we know sin does. Sin destroys, sin ruins, sin traps, sin brings isolation, sin brings death. And so we treat sin with contempt. And the word of God that's coming against you, it's coming against the sin that's in your life. And so what we do through the word, by the word, we call it out, we cut it out in ourselves and in each other. The gospel of truth will always require us to make adjustments. And it's going to take some bold, hold the line, Jesus followers to speak and receive that word of truth. And so that's what we're called to do. We seek and allow it to cut us, and we speak it, and we allow it to cut each other. And as we do that, as we provoke and spur and goad one another on towards love and good deeds, when our feathers get ruffled, when our sin gets called out, don't shy away. Don't get offended. Don't go find a more encouraging church. Press in deeper to be transformed by the living, active power of the Word of God. So Hebrews 10:24 says, man, spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And then 25 goes on and it says this, not forsaking our meeting together as believers for worship and instruction, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more faithfully as you see the day of Christ's return approaching. Now this is going to bring us back full circle. We jumped into Hebrews 4 and verse 12. And we started talking about how God's word is living and it's active and it's going to penetrate and it's going to cut and it's going to expose and it's going to judge. And in order to understand where that came from, you got to go all the way back up. Start at Hebrews, the very beginning of chapter 4. And so this word is penetrating and it's going to cut deep into our soul and deep into our spirit, our heart, and our mind. But why is it doing that? The word of God cuts deep. And through our obedience, so if our response is obedience, it's going to bring peace. Let me share this with you. Hebrews 4, verse 2. For indeed, we have the good news of salvation preached to us. That is the gospel. That is the word of truth. Just as the Israelites also, when the good news of the promised land came to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because it was not united with faith in God by those who heard it. For we who believe, that is, we who personally trust and confidently rely on God, what do? We enter that rest. So we have his inner peace now because we are confident in our salvation and assured of his power. I don't have too much time to backtrack, but you know the story of the Israelites, and you know that God came and he rescued them and he brought them out of bondage, out of slavage. Is that what I said earlier? And he's like, hey, I got a promised land. I'm going to take you there, and I've done so many miracles for you. And they get to the promised land, and they begin to be fearful, and they know what the promise is, and they've received the promise, but in their fear and in their doubt and in their sin and in their idol worship and in their desire to go back into slavery, they pushed against the word of truth and they didn't enter into the rest. This is what this is talking about. And with Jesus, he came and he is the promise of God and he is our salvation and we have rest and peace and we find that in him. But we have to allow the word to cut and to penetrate and to, man, get down into the hearts and thoughts and emotions of us so that he can transform us. And so that's what the word of God does. It cuts, it penetrates, it divides, it convicts us, it teaches us, it guides us. And lastly, it reminds us of our need of our Savior Jesus. And in him, what do we find? We find peace. In him, we find purpose. In him, we find rest. We find it for this life, but we definitely find it for the next. And that is the hope and that is the promise that we have. Now, as I wrap this up, let's go back to that original question. What is the purpose of God's word for you? I love 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. It just lays it back out there for us. Here's what it says. All scripture is God-breathed, given by divine inspiration, and is profitable for instruction, conviction, of sin, correction of error and restoration to obedience, and for training in righteousness, learning to live in conformity to God's will, both publicly and privately, behaving honorably with personal integrity and moral courage, so that, this is what's so important, the man of God may be complete and proficient, outfitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's what God's word wants to do in us and through us. But in order for it to do those things, we got to seek it out. We've got to be in it. We've got to be allowing God to speak and move. When we seek the word and we obey the word and we adjust our lives to the word, we are transformed. And we're set free by the word. And in the word, guess what we find? Peace. There's peace. The peace that can only come, that surpasses all understanding, is found in him. And that's what we get when we look to him. Hebrews 12, 3, I want to read it to you again. For we who believe, that is, who personally trust and confidently rely on God, enter that rest so that we can have inner peace now because we are confident in our salvation and assured of what? Of his power. Of his power to cut, of his power to change, of his power to transform, of his power to get down to the heart of us, to help us come more and more like him. It's his word that does it. It's the spirit of the truth that reveals it. But for us to hold the line to it, we've got to be seeking it and allowing it to cut and obeying it to make those adjustments. And as we do that, we can find daily rest in him. But we got to seek him daily if we want that daily rest, if we want that daily peace. And allow him to, in his word and his spirit and his people, to come alongside us and help us make the adjustments that we need to make. I got 5 questions. I've done this every week, and I think it's really important for us to kind of take something home and really think about and reflect. And so I got 5 questions for you. They'll be up on the screen. Yeah. And you can just write these down or you can take a picture of them. And it's not like a test. I'm not going to have you turn it in or anything. So it's for you. How has the word of God cut you in the past? Just think about, how he's penetrated sin in your life before. That's what I want you to think about, and how God has remind you of how God has already helped you and saved you and transformed you. And then the second question is, how is the word of God cutting you now? What was or is your response to being cut by the word of God? How has the word of God shaped your thoughts and actions? And how has the word of God brought clarity, peace, and rest? I'm going to leave those up there for just a minute. But there's some really good questions. I think they're good questions to ask of ourselves. I think they're good questions to ask of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because at the end of the day, we are either striving to be more like Christ, or we are idle and becoming more like this world. And so we got to allow his word to speak and to move. And to change and to challenge us and use that word to challenge each other. I'm going to give you this. This is our weekly verse. It's Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it is able to judge the ideas and thoughts of your heart. Let's pray. God, right now, each of us, we come before you knowing, first and foremost, that we are sinful. We also come to you broken and hurting, not only because of our sin, but of the sins of others that have hurt us. And I know at times due to circumstance or experience or just that, being taught or believing that this is the way it's always been, so this is the way it should be, and this is the way the world's doing it, so I'm going to fall into it. Like, we get wrapped up in that. And I know as the word speaks and as the word challenges, as the word cuts deep, it does cause us to push back. But God, right now, my prayer God, that we would just open it up and let you penetrate deep into our heart, into our soul, to cut deep into the sin or the disobedience or the error of our own sinfulness, God, so that we can replace it with you. God, soften our hearts. God, allow us to see the truth of your word and the love of your word and the peace of your word and the rest that we can find as we surrender to you. God, it's so easy to fall along the wayside and just to lose our path. In my life, I've seen one recipe for that, and that is continually and daily seeking you out through your word and allowing your spirit of truth to speak to us. God, and I am praying that over our congregation today. I am praying that over the people that are watching right now or watching at some other point, God, that you would make us a people, that you would draw us so much to you that we would hunger and thirst for righteousness. That you would set us free and set us apart so that we can go and preach and proclaim your truth to a world that desperately needs it. If you're here today and the word of God, either through his scripture, through a pastor, or through a friend, has been trying to penetrate your heart, but you have kept your heart hard and you have kept those blockers up, I pray that the Spirit would break those walls down and enter into your life right now. Find that peace, find that rest that can only be found in him. Understand that he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. He, Jesus Christ, that sin that you're holding on to, that sin that you've been living in, that sin that has been lying to you and deceiving you, Jesus took it and he paid for it and he defeated it and he left it in the grave. So give it to him. Cut it out and let Jesus take its place. Let the word of truth, man, just well up inside you and become a wellspring of life, and let that life bring peace and joy into your heart that you've been so desperately longing for. You can only find it in Jesus. Man, let it be today if God is calling you. God, I just thank you for your word today. I thank you for your spirit today. I just thank you for just working in our lives. And not being okay with leaving us in our hurt and in our pain and in our sin, God, but drawing us and pulling us out to be more like your son and finding peace and rest in him. God, I thank you for the freedom and the release that I sense and I feel in this place and the peace that has come because of your son and because of your word. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.